You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Do you like archaeology? I know you like history. Do you like archaeology, though?
It's also cool.
It's also cool. Yes. What about biblical archaeology?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Okay, very good. Well, there's an opportunity. I have an opportunity to share with you.
So excited.
Yes, this is coming up here in St. Louis at Concordia Seminary. A great opportunity coming up this fall in September. We'll learn more in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden. He is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology, Dean of Theological Research and Publication, and Director of Resident Field Education at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Golden, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Always good to be with you.
I am excited about this upcoming learning opportunity for anyone, not just for students at Concordia Seminary, but this is open to the public. We're going to talk archaeology, and we're going to do that in just a moment. But let's talk about the time frame that we're going to be looking at in this lecture before we dig into archaeology.
That was a good one.
I didn't even mean that, but that just kind of rolled right
out. How many jokes can we throw into this?
Yes. I'm so sorry. Yes. And just coming off of Father's Day, all kinds of dad jokes.
Yep.
What is the time frame that we'll be considering in this lecture?
So this is really a good complement to the first lecture that we had in this entire series last fall. There we looked at Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, obviously of high significance. Hardly get anything more significant than that. But now we're going to look at Judah in the time of David. So David, you can kind of ballpark the beginning of his reign in Jerusalem right around the year 1000 BC. That's pretty close to when he would have started his reign. And so what we'll be looking at is the 10th century BC, so roughly 1000 BC to 901 BC, and what was going on in the area of Jerusalem and also Judah itself, the surrounding area, and just the archaeological evidence for what was going on.
So help us understand that in the time period, the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah.
So this is before that divided kingdom, if you will. The kingdom is going to divide at the tail end of 10th century BC. So under the reign of David, the kingdom is united. His son Solomon takes over. Kingdom is still united, but it was after the death of Solomon, late again in the second half of the 10th century BC, kingdom divides into two. You get the northern kingdom, which usually is referred to as Israel, and then you have the southern kingdom of Judah. So really the time frame we're looking at in this lecture is really for the united kingdom, but we're using reference to Judah because we're looking down in the southern part that would become the kingdom of Judah. So looking at, and this is where, this is where David would have kind of centered all of his work, centering around Jerusalem and looking at the archaeological evidence there.
So why is this topic so interesting to you?
I'm an Old Testament guy, you know, that's the realm that I teach in. And in fact, it works out very nicely that this fall I'll be teaching a section of a course entitled Old Testament 2. That's a very inventive title, you know, but that class really covers from the conquest of the Holy Land, you know, under the leadership of Joshua up until right before the exile. And so the time frame we're looking at here with David and Solomon, 10th century BC, is kind of centerpiece for this class that I'm going to be teaching this also this fall. So this really flows well into that class. But also, here's kind of the bigger reason why this is significant, is that while, of course, what we teach at the seminary is we're really training future pastors, future deaconesses, and so we want them to understand the theology and the content of Scripture so that they can teach it, preach it properly and such. But also as a biblical scholar, I get to grapple with and deal with the critical scholars that are out. And the reality is over the last generation or two, there's been kind of a minimalist approach from critical scholars regarding the 10th century BC. So that some have even taken the outlook that David and maybe even Solomon, they're kind of legendary figures that we might them to King Arthur. You know, King Arthur, legendary. Maybe there's some character, historical character back behind him. But all the stuff you get in the Arthurian legends are just that. They're legends. And so some have taken that kind of minimalist approach when it comes to the biblical account of David and Solomon, that it's not all that reliable. Well, this is where archaeology can actually do quite a bit of benefit for us to help see just how historically reliable the biblical text is. And here we might think especially of what you and I know as 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, especially 2 Samuel and 1 Kings, which really gets into the time frame of David and then on into Solomon, to find out that, hey, it actually, the archaeological evidence coincides largely with what is described there in the text. Now, of course, archaeology, one thing it's not going to do is it's not going to convince you that, well, to go with last year's topic, that Jesus rose from the dead, all right? It can give you insight that these were historical events that actually took place and such. Same thing also here, that, hey, what Scripture describes, what David's kingdom looked like, the archaeological evidence actually comports quite well with that. And so it gives you good, solid foundation to trust the text.
Tell us more about 10th century BC, the time of David and Solomon. What were some of the things, the things that were happening that we may end up finding evidence for when we look at the archaeology?
So this is often what we refer to as the golden age of Israel, not only because the monarchy is united, but David first and then Solomon as well expand the borders of the kingdom to the furthest that their borders would expand. And so it's a time of great prosperity. Partly this is due, there's a bit of a power vacuum in the ancient world. And so Israel doesn't have to deal with pressures from outside them. And so therefore they're able to flourish and such. If you're flourishing and you have a growing kingdom, what do you expect? Well, you expect exactly what the text talks about, that David and then Solomon build up not only, well, it's Solomon who's going to build the temple, but they also build up an administrative structure, including buildings and things like that, in order to make the kingdom operate. Well, this is where the archaeological record can come into play to say, hey, when you look at the archaeological evidence of that 10th century BC in that realm, do you actually have evidence of such an administrative growth taking place?
So since this is a lecture and you happen to be teaching on the same subject this fall, what questions do you want your students to bring to this lecture?
Ooh, that's a very fine question, because I am telling my students, if they go to this lecture and they give me some basic feedback, they're going to get some extra credit. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, it is going to be an evening lecture, so I can't require them to be there because they will have other responsibilities potentially and such. So what questions would I want them to ask? All right. So I think, you know, I want to keep archaeology in its proper sphere. All right. So as I mentioned before, it's kind of misapplying archaeology if you expect it to do what the Word of God is supposed to do. All right. And what is the Word of God going to do for you? Bring you to faith. It's going to strengthen you in the faith. It's going to tell you who the Lord is and what he has done for you and such. What archaeology does is it, again, kind of gives the dirt, all right? And I did my own dad joke there. It's also a pastor, all right? But yeah, you know, in archaeology, you get down into the dirt, literally, that you're digging into this stuff. And what it does underscore is that the biblical faith is a very tangible faith. Scripture, Christianity is nothing. These events didn't actually happen if these people didn't actually exist. Now, the pinnacle, of course, of that, all of that, is Christ himself, that Jesus of Nazareth was a historic person who is risen from the dead. But he actually lived, and he lived in a very specific spot and did very specific things. The biblical faith also runs that with, hey, Christ, before his incarnation, was doing very specific things through very specific people in very specific places with very specific events. And that's what archaeology helps us see, is here's that specificity. It's an actual place where things actually happened, and we have actual archaeological evidence of those places and the things that happened.
Now, you mentioned there was a lecture, a previous lecture. How does this archaeological lecture connect at all? Just does this help bring us, I guess, forwards and backwards in biblical history, connecting some dots in biblical archaeology?
Well, yes. Now, part of the genius, if you will, well, if you can call it that, because I'm planning these things, all right, is that last year we did have Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. So a heavy New Testament focus. And of course, you start off with Jesus and what's going on in his life and ministry. Now we wanted to complement that by taking a look at something in the Old Testament. The other thing that we are always looking at as we plan these is we want to bring in top-notch scholars, top-notch archaeologists who are world-renowned. So last year, we had Jody Magnus with us, who is very well-known, published, highly sought-after speaker. She actually, I remember when I met Dr. Magnus last year, I saw on her laptop that her picture that you see when her laptop is up is her with Morgan Freeman. And I asked her, how did you meet Morgan Freeman? Well, she reminded me that she had been one of the principal experts that PBS had used when they did a series on archaeology surrounding the Dead Sea Scrolls. And who was the narrator for that but Morgan Freeman, with that beautiful voice that he has. And so, yeah, she is world-renowned. Well, this year we're also bringing in a world-renowned scholar, a world-renowned archaeologist that people seek after and who is very well-respected.
We're learning about an upcoming lecture at Concordia Seminary, Judah in the Time of David lecture taking place in September. We'll learn more in just a moment with the Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six churchwork programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future churchwork students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/preparedtoserve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Learning about the upcoming lecture, Judah in the Time of David, taking place September 9th at 7 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden. He's Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology and digging into Old Testament history in your class this fall with your students. Sarah, are you in this class this fall?
I wish I were, but probably not.
Yet. Not yet.
Not quite yet. But your day will come.
Yeah.
Pastor, any other examples that would help us understand why it's valuable to understand archaeology and biblical archaeology when it comes to understanding biblical history?
So the series that we just started last year is the These Stones Will Shout annual lecture in biblical archaeology and the historical geography of the Holy Land. Now, that is a mouthful, right? We've been.
That's why I let you say it.
I was very happy when the very first lecture happened, and I was able to recite that without looking down at my piece of paper.
Nice.
Right? Now it's ensconced in my brain. All right. Now we've focused on this point to the biblical archaeology side of that. I think in the answer to your question, let's talk about the historical geography of the Holy Land. And this gets back to what we were saying before, again, that the biblical faith is a historical faith. It is based on real people and real events in real places. So when you deal with archaeology, not only does it help bring that to the fore that these are real places, real events, real people, but also the historical geography, just how the land is put together. And so as you understand how the land is put together, it actually gives rise to a better understanding of just how Scripture speaks. So sometimes, you know, we think maybe in terms of a map. If I told you that I was going to, last month, I went up to Green Bay to speak to a group of pastors, all right? Well, you know why I said up is because, look at a map and I'm going north, all right? That's really not how the biblical world would speak. And so when you understand the archaeology or the geography of the land, you'll understand when they said, hey, they went up to Jerusalem, because you'll get this, for example, in the New Testament, that they were going from Jericho up to Jerusalem. Well, that isn't because it goes north on a map, but rather it's topographical. You're actually ascending in elevation above sea level as you go to Jerusalem. And so that's one element of itself, is just kind of getting into the mind of how the people thought. Similar to that would be, now this is not so much to do with the 10th century BC. I mentioned 10th century BC earlier, that it was the golden age for Israel because there's a bit of a power vacuum going on. And so therefore they don't have pressure. But the reality is this, is when you look again at the archaeology of the land, you go north of Jerusalem a bit and you get to the Jezreel Valley. And the Jezreel Valley is actually a bit of a plain, all right? And guess where ancient armies like to fight?
On the plains.
On the plain. Yeah. That worked well in ancient warfare, but that was one of the few plains, if you will, in that entire area. And so that was just kind of the place where armies would gather and they'd do battle, all right? Well, it just so happens the Jezreel Valley is at the foot of Megiddo, that's a famous city. And the Hebrew word for mountain, and there's a mountain right there by Megiddo, is Har Megiddo, as in Armageddon, all right? And this is really, for example, in the book of Revelation, where you get the term Armageddon, it's referring to the Har Megiddo, the mountain of Megiddo, right by the plain or valley of Jezreel, which was known for what? Battle after battle after battle. And so that's just kind of funneling again into not only the archaeological, the geographical, but also just kind of how scripture speaks, that the more you understand how the land is laid out, the more you understand those things.
So you mentioned that the lecture for this one is another world famous lecture. Tell us about who's going to be doing this lecture.
This is Dr. Yosef Garfinkel, who comes to us from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And he actually happens to be a very good friend of one of my colleagues, Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary. Dr. Adams actually happens to be our archaeology expert on faculty. And so he has done a lot of digs. And he told me that he and Dr. Garfinkel actually lived together for a summer when they were on a dig together. So they would get up early in the morning, go out and do the archaeological work, and then, retreat back to where they were staying for the summer together. And so they've got a close relationship. But Dr. Garfinkel, he is really a world-renowned archaeologist. And the area that he has been working over the last decade plus is in 10th century BC archaeological digs in the realm of Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judea. And so this is kind of his area of expertise. You could say that he is the expert when it comes to 10th century BC Judean archaeology.
So there will be a lecture. Can we anticipate photos as well from some of his digs, I would assume?
I haven't worked out all the details with him. We've been talking through stuff. I would expect he's going to be showing, because again, he's going to be focusing in on what he has been uncovering and such. And so it would make sense there's going to be photos.
What do we need to know about this lecture in order to attend? It's taking place at Concordia Seminary on September 9th. What do we need to know to be a part of it?
Well, number one, there is no cost. We have benefactors who have endowed this entire lecture series. So we're going to have these annual lectures in archaeology, typically every fall, thanks to our donors. So it will not cost you a penny. All you got to do is show up. So as you mentioned, it's going to be on Tuesday, September the 9th, 7 p.m. You'll be in Werner Auditorium within Winneken Hall at Concordia Seminary. So if you've been to events there before, that is our largest kind of venue outside of the chapel itself. And so Werner Auditorium is where this will be happening. we'll also have a reception afterwards so that you can stick around and schmooze with different individuals. Hopefully also get a chance to chat with Dr. Garfinkel. But again, we're going to have a nice crowd, I'm sure, with hundreds in attendance, so that it may be difficult to grab him because there's going to be others vying for his attention.
Now, what is going to be interesting for somebody who maybe hasn't read a lot of Old Testament, but is familiar with the stories maybe? What's interesting about biblical archaeology and learning about the archaeology of Judah for somebody that maybe has a cursory understanding of the Old Testament?
So, you know, I might put it this way, is that Holy Scripture gives us the goods, obvious. Mm-hmm. All right. But Sarah, I think you and I have talked about this before. I think we both love Tolkien, mm-hmm. love Middle Earth. All right. And, you know, when I have read Tolkien before, I always love to just study the little maps that he made of what Middle Earth looks like and such. Yeah. You have the maps within your study Bible, again, that kind of show here's the geography of the land and the lay of the land. That's very helpful. But there's something completely different when you actually, first of all, the best would be actually be able to be there. But then also when you have somebody who has spent years, over a decade, digging in this specific realm and is able to present, here's what you actually find, and then how that comports with Scripture. That helps kind of make Scripture all the more tangible so that you realize it far exceeds Tolkien in that Tolkien gave us an imaginary fantasy. Scripture gives us historical reality. And here is a glimpse of what that historical reality actually looks like.
All right. So being a professor of theology, particularly history, what are you going to be nerding out about during this lecture?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, most of my own work is in the 8th century BC. So this is a little ahead of time for me and such. And so I know Dr. Garfinkel is, because of the digs he's been in on, he's going to be focused in on a lot of what has been uncovered as far as the administrative structure that was being built up by David and Solomon, all right? So I myself will be interested to hear how not only what that evidence is, what he has found, but then add to that, what does that then further reveal about how the kingdom of Israel, specifically in the realm of Judah, was interacting with other nations? So does that dig include articles that would have been brought in from other lands via trade? Is there evidence? You may remember in the time of David, while the Lord did not allow him to build the temple himself, that it was going to be Solomon who built the temple, David started kind of storehousing everything that's going to be necessary to build the temple. So he started bringing in cedars of Lebanon, et cetera, and just making sure everything's waiting for his son when the time comes. Well, do we see something along the lines in that regard? You know, I'll just be interested to see what hit the specifics of what his dig has dug up.
Where can we learn more about this event and the details of how to attend?
So you can always go to the seminary website, csl.edu, Concordia Seminary St. Louis, csl.edu. And when you go there, you'll find a tab that has resources. And under resources, you get the whole slug of opportunities, of ways that we try to enrich not only our students, but the church as a whole, the community as a whole. But as you go down there, take a look at continuing education, and then you're going to find, again, a whole lot of events. But one of those will be this lecture.
Very good. September 9th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. This is Judah in the Time of David. Lecture. It's going to be fantastic. Lots of archaeology. So exciting to dig into that history. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden, Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Golden, thanks so much for spending this time with us. Thanks for putting together this lecture series. Looking forward to it.
My pleasure. Always good with you. Always good to be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. Who was the first archaeologist?
No.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.